This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Howdy. How are you? Welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're having an excellent day. I know I am. Things are pretty good over here. Welcome to come on in to the room here with us on Zoom. Just go ahead and click on the link there in the description, in the Facebook page or the LinkedIn page, wherever you happen to be. Now, of course, if you're in there, you probably can't hear me in here. But if you're in Facebook and you're watching the live stream, then you can. So go ahead and click the link. Come on in. Join us. We are going to have some fun. You know, somebody in the group suggested that we talk about wine rooms, wine closets, you know, those glass wine things that you store wine in. And I thought, man, that is a great idea. I don't think we've ever had a conversation about that. And I'm interested in it myself. You know, it's funny because it's something I really don't know much about. So only here in the faith and the shower door professionals group could you like just go ahead and start a topic that you don't know anything about. And just like hope that there's somebody here who does. That's how I roll. I'm living dangerously, walking the knife's edge here. Put myself out there, hoping that like someone's going to come and bail me out. So I'm looking at the roster here and I'm thinking, oh yeah, there's probably somebody here who knows something about this. So anyway, I'm just going to open it up and see who's doing these glass wine rooms. Anybody? I know somebody is.
I've done a couple.
Tell me about it. Tell me about your experience.
I can tell you on every set of plans that I've ever seen, there's yet to be a specification. And really? So, but I also know that the end user that wants a wine chiller in their home or office is typically not concerned about price, and they value it at a much greater dollar amount than they actually do their showers, which is mind-numbing because they use the shower multiple times a day. It's getting beat with water, opening and closing, squeegeeing, and they might open the wine room once a week. And, you know, it's more of a trophy case. And so, I mean, it's a glorified steam room. Now, there's a lot of caveats to that, that if it's chilled, not chilled, and particular in the chilled element, what I've learned, you know, not from a theoretical standpoint, because I get challenged on it all the time by the AC people and engineers. I challenge it from a mechanical standpoint, meaning I've learned all my lessons the hard way, and I've kind of figured out what we can and cannot get away with. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest misconception, I think, is you can't chill to a 55 degree temperature with half inch monolithic tempered glass, which I would argue that's 100% inaccurate. And we have over 75 of them chilling from at least 5 years now. But what will cause that to sweat is if that wine enclosure is placed within the home or business in a spot that will get direct sunlight for an extended period of time and or is in a very humid environment like we hear in Florida here, where the humidity, you know, would make your hair stand up. If a customer was leaving their sliders open during the summertime for, is, you know, as little as 15, 20 minutes, and the wine cellar happens to be located near this door, that flash of humidity is just going to cause it to sweat. But the permanent sweating in perpetuity would be because it's positioned in a spot that's going to be getting direct sunlight. Now, if you go to then, so then the inexperienced, you know, customers or builders will come and say, well, we just want to use insulated, but you know, they want that butt glass frameless look. And I'm thinking, like all of us on this call, no, you can't do that. Insulated frameless with hinge, that it's not even a possibility. That's not an option because of how the insulated glass is made up. You know, they don't notch it around for hinges and all the black tar on the edges. It's just not an aesthetic that's pleasing, and or it's not even feasible. And so because we have the lamination, I don't know how much more R value, if at all, but I know it's got to be better because it'll be quarter glass, SGP interlayer, quarter glass, creating a little bit of a thermal barrier, and we post polish the edges.
Right.
And but we have put in several, much like a lot of other people in this stuff, put in, I mean, many, many, many chilled wine cellars. And the overwhelming majority that would cause that to sweat will be direct sunlight or humidity. If you can stay away from those components, now your job is to make your tolerances extremely tight. And also FHC at the last glass show, two previous glass shows, I was preaching, man, if we could get a thermally broken channel, that would be awesome. Well, son of a bitch, last year they came out with a whole, it's called Aspire, but it's a system that takes insulated glass, but the whole system is thermally broken. And it's kind of sexy type of storefront Herculite mixture. And so I think at this year, my guess would be they'd have one that we could do for frameless glass, which would be a game changer for us. But nevertheless, we also, one thing, I've got pushback on this from some people, and you can obviously do it. We don't use shower door hinges when we're doing wine cellars. Can you hear me?
Yeah, let me see. I think I know who that is. All right, keep going.
We don't typically use, well, actually always, we don't use shower door hinges when we're doing wine cellars that are chilled, because when you're closing in a complete, like if you've done a steam shower and somebody's standing in it and you pull the door, you know, you kind of get that popping. It's almost like a pressurized cabin once you enclose it. Well, when that room gets up to temperature, the AC kicks off. And then sometimes when it's slowly bleeding out or evaporating because of heat and whatever in the room, when the AC kicks back on, in the beginning, we notice a tendency where it popped the door open just to see air. I mean, just barely, but enough where all the cold air is rushing out to keep the unit to have to keep running and running and running and running. And then would eventually, you know, like trip, and then it wouldn't run. And then the door would close and they couldn't figure it out. And we had come to the conclusion that there just wasn't a strong enough, positive retention on those. So we kind of sought after some basically glorified patch fittings. There's some sexier ones Sedev USA makes one. I mean, I think all the companies have a version of this, but they're like, I don't know if they're spring loaded or hydraulic, but it looks like a patch fitting, but it's self-closing. And we found that to obviously create more value, which allows us to charge a little bit more. The hinges does cost considerably more than a shower door hinge. Mm-hmm. However, you have this ability to have a 90 degree hold open. You can adjust the speed and tension of closing, which kind of satisfies that opportunity of the door to pop open when the AC kicks on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can, if you're skeptical about getting real tight tolerances, you can, you know, do the gaskets all the way around to really seal it up. But we've actually found that having, you know, a heavy 16 space all the way around, maybe even eighth of an inch, having hold temperature in the right position within the home has not been an issue holding temperature at 55 degrees. Which I wouldn't have believed with my own eyes until we started doing it. And it, you know, the tape and bubble gaskets only stay on so long, right? Okay. So like right. in a perfect condition, if you get the bubble gasket in between both pieces of glass, like just to barely kiss the other one, because if it's too much, there's drag on it when it folds over, and then eventually the tape starts popping off and it's just ugly from there. You can do the, I call it the lowercase H gasket, where it like sleeves over a panel and then has a tab to stick out.
Mm-hmm.
You would set the hinge, the tension on it, to always keep tension on it. That kind of takes away from some of the aesthetical look, depending on how the configuration is.
Right.
So we found, you know, when I do want to put gaskets in between, if depending on where the blowers are inside the unit, yada, 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 we'll actually tape on some mole hair onto the edge of the door, and it won't wrap around it. And so if you're using standard clear, which the edge is dark as it is, you can't even really even see the mole hair, and it doesn't have a tendency to like skid or skip when, you know, when the bubble gasket touches that other piece of glass and it sits there for a while, sometimes it can, you know, it's like peeling a contact off. It's like there's some friction there.
Sure, it kind of sticks a little bit.
Yes. And it doesn't take long for it to eventually start peeling the tape off. And in my opinion, when there's a gasket on there and it's taped on, the only time it looks even close to acceptable is when it's perfect. And the second you deviate from that, it goes to the opposite end of the spectrum. It looks like, oh my God, this is a ratchet job.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try and mitigate that. I'll also warn clients too, on a very narrow, let's say you're in a dining room area and they got a big wall and they're like, I want to put it on the backside of the dining room table. I want to put some wine racks there and enclose it, but I don't want to chew up my dining room. So I only want like 10 inches deep. If that's going to be a chilled unit, sometimes they end up putting the vents on the back wall and it's spraying right at the door or the glass or wherever. And I say, this is equivalent to you guys turning your car on in the morning. And let's say you got the AC on from the night before and it just like blasting that first like 4 to 6 inches. And you see it kind of frost up until the temperature kind of cools off and it dissipates. That same thing can happen here. So we like to tell them to always direct the air top down. And preferably not like the vents, the return up against the glass, either center to it or pointing away from the glass, shooting it back on the line. So I'd say like those three things, the sun, the humidity, and where those vents are. And then, you know, being cognizant of the hinges you use when dealing with a chilled unit, I think are like the three main things you should be cautious of when going after that. And you should also know you can get a premium for this. And people look at their wine as part of a collection and they just, the money just seems to have a different value when they're talking about this. And again, it's hard to wrap your head around, but it's been an extremely profitable venture for us. And we're actively seeking out more of these opportunities every day. You know, it's clean. It's good work, just like the shower enclosures. You're in, you're out.
Yeah.
And they make for fucking beautiful pictures too, you know, cause they're dressed up with the wine racks, the right. bottles, the lighting, like they just make for sexy pictures.
Yeah. I mean, even cleaner than shower doors. I mean, in a shower, you know, a shower, you have to work with somebody's shower, you know, it's not always, but, in a wine room, man, that's super clean environment to work.
Oh man, no caulking. Like we just, you know, there's a lot of little nuances and facets to this, like on the hardware you can use and not use. And, you know, you kind of just, you got to be cut. It's where you'll get bit is the chilled units, where it's placed and how tight are your tolerances. And, you know, and then, you know, where's the return and vents inside. The wine room for most contractors is either really awesome or really bad. They don't have like an in-between experience. So some of them you really got to go into being like, if the customer wants it, but the builder doesn't want to do it, but he trusts that you guys do a killer job on the shower, you know, you almost got to talk them off. You got to be a psychiatrist, really, and, you know, assure them that under these conditions, we can do this together and it's going to be fine. You got to make sure the walls have spray foam, you know, close spray foam insulation on every wall and ceiling, because you don't want the attic air clashing with that inside there. That'll cause it to sweat, even though that has nothing to do with the glass, you know, giving that extra little nugget. Just shows A, that you care, and two, you know, they'll see you as more of a professional by giving them information that really has nothing to do with you, because you want them to have a good experience. Mm. And then, you know, another thing, a lot of these go in a dining room off a kitchen where there's wood floors, and putting a gasket underneath the door is just good business, because cold air falls.
Mm-hmm.
Inside the wine cellar, and if there's a big space under the door, wood floor, water moisture, it can cause warping or belling in the wood floor, so you put a gasket on it. Well, if it's somebody that, like maybe from my former life, liked to drink a lot, they'd be opening the door a couple times a day. Well, that sweep on the wood floors, eventually it's, you know, the water beats the rock, it's eventually going to wear that floor. So what I've been doing is we use, let's say the customer doesn't want to see any channel. We'll go on the concrete. We'll bury, it's an architectural style channel. So it's a little deeper and it has gaskets. So it, you know, it sets the glass in the middle of it, kind of keeping it away from the metal, but we'll run that on the concrete all the way under the door. So let's say it's a panel door panel, I'll run it wall to wall. And where the door's going to go, we set our panels where the door's going to go. We'll put a block of wood in there, and then they sell a filler piece. But this whole channel will be recessed below the wood floor. So the only thing that's sticking up is about an eighth of an inch of the channel. And of course you could see the filler, but it's not even sticking up high enough that you could stub your toe on. However, it is high enough that the sweep will touch on top of it. But when you open the door, it's hovering above the wood floor.
Mm.
And so now you're not having that rubbing. Because as you know, too, even if it didn't ruin the floor, which I'd argue eventually it's going to if it's touching. If it's touching, it's doing its job. But then you got to close the door, which means those two sweeps have to fold back over each other. And that is going to lift the door. Not a lot at all, but enough after, you know, 500,000 cycles, things start to come loose. Header starts working loose. Hinges start working loose. Like everything just changes eventually. And so taking that friction off the floor from the gasket while not compromising the seal when it's closed, I think is a good idea to look at. And if they don't like the look of the channel, sometimes they can create a transition from outside the wine cellar to inside the wine cellar with a similar piece of wood. I wish I had a drawing I could put in here, but
a little threshold,
just a little sort. Threshold again, yeah. not big enough to just like any other door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like any other door. But I always encourage that, because they know there's got to, because they'll say, well, are you going to seal this? Well, yeah, it's going to be sealed. But remember, that thing's dragging on the floor. And if 28 inches outside the door, there's a little belly and it really drags, that means you got to lift the door up. Which means when you close the door, it's not going to be a seal underneath it. So having that transition, I think, takes all the agita, you know, out of the game, because I don't have to worry about, now I know I'm going to get a good seal. It's not going to be rubbing on the floor. I'm not going to have any adjustment issues, or I'm less likely to have adjustment issues because I don't have all that unnecessary friction of the sweep folding over itself. Right. It's like when you have a shower with a recessed pan. You sit it up there with the sweep. If that floor is not dead nuts perfect, when you swing it out, now you got to push the door back in. You can feel it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just feel it, and it eventually jumps over itself, but it's raising the door ever so slightly, which will eventually, you know, weaken the anchors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's just binding up a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But the wine doors have a tendency to be bigger because we're using a commercial grade hinge. Mm-hmm. That I was referring to earlier. So you know, I'm doing 118, if we're not doing a transom. So they're bigger. They're bigger doors. They're heavier. And the hinges can support it. But, you know, you put that gasket under there with that pressure, it's just a lot.
Christina's saying, what about mohair under the door?
That's not a bad idea. Now, anybody that's on this call that installs knows that's kind of like good luck putting that on and like getting the right height. And because I don't know how you would do that, where the sweep that normally slides over it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's got a little bit of adjustment in it. You can kind of slide it on from the end, but the mole mm-hmm. here, you got double side tape put under the door.
You'd almost have to do it first before you set the door.
And then like you're not moving it, right? It's got to be perfect. And I haven't had too many of those. So it would, in theory, now if the mole here was attached to the threshold, that'd be a different story, but I don't know what that would look like.
Right, right.
So that's my 2 cents.
Cameron's asking for a link. Do you have a link to the company that supplies that hardware you're talking about?
I'll give you like 3 of them. One of them's Dev USA, which somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain they occupied the old member CHMI in Keokuk, Iowa. They kind of took over that facility. And so it's like a German hardware. If you go Sadev, Sadev USA, because I think it's a German company.
Hey, Megla.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think that's affiliated with it as well. But there's a hinge on there, one of their patch hinges called the maybe Balboa. And you can find it at a couple other hardware sales. I don't even know what the right name would be for this. Yeah, Sadev USA, there's a link. Robert put it in there. Thank you, Robert.
Awesome.
They got some sexy hardware, got great service. The owner, Joe, some of the sales guys, like they're always jumping on FaceTimes with us. Like they're real progressive. They got cool hardware. They manufacture a lot of the stuff there. So they're fun to work with. Who else do we look at? Dorma Kaba has got a nice one. Dorma Kaba, all one word. I think that's Dorma Kaba Americas. Geez, a lot of these companies must start over at Europe and then they got their USA division.
Yeah, probably.
And they'll be at the show. Dorma Kaba is usually at show. Again, another company, great service. And of course, I'm sure Sierra Lawrence FHC probably has a, under the commercial or patch fittings, if you kind of scroll through a lot of them, you'll see either a hydraulic one I think it's hydraulic. So no more box in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I get a client that wants, they come in, they're like, they name drop. There's a couple of restaurants here in Naples that have these big wine to-dos, and that's like their thing. But a couple of them are done really nice. And what they did was they used these, I call it a shoe along the bottom. It's almost like a 4-inch boot along the bottom. They're like Herculite doors where you would just have a 4 inches along the bottom of the door, 4 inches at the top, nothing on the verticals. Okay. Same thing goes for the channel. Those are fixed. But in polished stainless, it's sexy. I mean, it's a commercial type of application, but in the wine cellars, I'm going to, before this call ends, I'm going to screenshot a picture and put it in the group chat. Okay. It's sexy. I mean, it is sexy. It's polished stainless, 4-inch long, top and bottom, a little bit larger handle, low iron glass. It just adds this weight and look to the door. It doesn't even look, it just looks a lot more expensive. It feels a lot more expensive. And even quite the premium that comes with this. Installs virtually the same. I'd actually argue handling the sweep issue with this door in particular, with these styles on the top and bottom, is easier because the way that the glass sits into those, some of these boots, you can take like half of it off, or the cladding like slides off of it. So I could slide the inside off and tape something to the inside of the outside cladding from the inside, if that makes sense. Like, so you got a 4-inch shoe at the bottom of the door. I'm on the inside of the enclosure. I can take off the cladding and reach my hand underneath the glass and access the inside of the outside cladding and put, you know, a gasket or mole hair down there.
Nice.
I'll put a picture in, you know, once I'm done rambling here. So that's another option to dress them up.
Hey,
and then we've recently sold one of the, if I don't know if it's on the FHE website yet, but they sent me a brochure. I think it is. If you go to FHE and type in Aspire, A-S-P-I-R-E, Aspire line, that's the fully thermally broken unit meant to accept insulated glass, I believe up to either maybe 1.25 inches, up to 1.25 inches. And they have little filler pieces going there that can knock it down, I think, to 1 inch. I love that for the client that comes in that's okay with having framework, but they don't want it to look like a storefront in your old school kind of car dealership, real boxy. This is more of a designer type. If the brochure pulls up on there, you'll see it. But what's really cool is it's thermally broken. So the highest protection you could do in a chilled wine cellar would be thermally broken metal with insulated glass unit.
Sure. Absolutely.
And they have the, on that Aspire line, it's got, it's extruded on the two vertical edges of the doors to slide in a mole hair that's got like a hard T on it. Mm-hmm. And the T just slides in. It's like perfect. Anybody on FHC on this call should be better be getting a Christmas card this year from them.
No, Keith, that's, I was going to ask you on that Sedev product. Is it the Unica, the one that you're talking about?
Yeah. That's it. Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm looking.
Great hinge. I mean, we've probably put, we use those on all of our like commercial offices. So I'll use the C.R. Lawrence deep architectural channel. It's the 1 5/8. And then I'll use the small one on the bottom. But on the top, I run the channels wall to wall. And we put all the panels up in it. And then when the last panel goes in, we put that little rip of wood in there and then a snap-in filler. And then we screw that hinge to that, because a lot of times with the acoustical ceilings or even drywall, if you just take the, you stop the channel short too, I think it looks better, my opinion, because it's more uniform. It goes all the way across. But if it's attaching to sheetrock, you don't have to worry about the glass hitting, you know, it, it brings the top of the door down a little bit. And gives you something solid to screw into. You know, you're not just putting plugs and anchors up in through the sheetrock. So we've had much better luck with that. Yeah.
I was working with FHC on one recently, and the client couldn't figure out if they wanted, you know, thermally broken or they wanted, you know, more of a frameless look. So we were going back and forth trying to figure out different options. I mean, my dad, he's done probably like 2 wine rooms since we've been open, and we don't get a ton of them, but I'm starting to like get more requests on, you know, doing some layouts and some bids on them. And this is good info. And I didn't realize that they had that Aspire. I mean, that would actually work pretty good versus doing full on storefront, because that's basically what we bid out. And it was a little not, they weren't too keen on the look, but I think this is a lot cleaner for sure.
Cam, that can work, but this is cleaner. But even more importantly, when they see what it looks like,
it
looks like it's meant to fit there. And so I think that the money is much more justified. Like, they're like, wow, this, It looks like it belongs on the wine cellar. It doesn't look like storefront around there.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we were trying to get away from, is because the kick plates are massive. They're like, what, 10 inches or so on the bottom, and it just looks real bulky. And
yeah.
All the Pinterest photos that they were sending me weren't like that, so.
That's funny. All right, unless anybody's going to, I mean, so that's, so we carry the fully frameless with the patch fittings. Then I'd go up to, you know, the door rail, top and bottom, and on all the panels. And then we have a fully welded, but those would be the ones that I would be doing. And again, the first thing I ask when anybody mentions wine, because we do a lot of posts on social media, especially targeted to a lot of our designers and stuff in our area, which is really what sparked a lot more of this for us. And we love it because, again, dude, the installers love it. Like, by the time we're ready to install a wine cellar, there's AC in the house. So that right there, that's a massive thing, right? Two, the house is usually almost all cleaned up. They're usually on the first floor because they're right next to the kitchen and dining room. So they're not walking upstairs. You know, from an owner standpoint or profitability standpoint, it's just a much easier, it's a fun sell, because they're talking about the wine, they're talking about drinking, and they can't wait to have all their friends over. And this is good. This is positive. Like, it's just an easy sell, especially if they're inquiring about wine. Where you really kind of set the hook is your knowledge on knowing where the problem lies. You know, it's easy to tell them everything that's good about this. Where the problem lies is if it's chilled, where is it? And, you know, is there going to be direct sunlight, or is there going to be humidity? And if there's either one of these remotely close to touching this glass, it's buyer beware. I protect customers from themselves because we put so much on our Google reviews. I will not allow a client to buy something from us that I know is going to sweat, because I'm dead man walking at this point. At least a short bag, I don't care how much it is, it's just not worth it. Mm-hmm. And so, as enticing as it is to get some of these, you'll have to use your own discipline to know when to punt and not, as hard as it might be, because believe me, that bag will turn into an ugly bag of money the second that thing sweats. Because unlike a shower door, you can't just go back there and add a bead of caulking and boom, it's not sweating anymore. It's like, if it's sweating, you're fucked. It's game over. You know, you can maybe add window tint, but then they say, well, if you got to tint that one, then I want you to tint them all. It's just, I'm telling you, if you think that there's too much sweat or direct sunlight and or potential humidity, don't do it. Or give them the option to do the thermal unit. And you know what's cool about the FHC one, which I wasn't aware up until recently because we just sold one of these Aspire jobs, is anybody that knows FHC, where they are in California, I had a tour there earlier this year, and it was awesome. I couldn't believe how much I was telling Paul Daniels. I said, you guys got to be filming this to get this out to the people in Gus, because nobody, unless they've been here, they don't know how much actual manufacturing is going on at FEC. But it's unbelievable. It's one of the cleanest factories I've ever been in. There's no clutter. There's like the culture second to none out on the floor. I'm talking the cleanliness, the organization. I mean, I was blown away. I was literally blown away. But right next door to them is a guy, I believe it's Glassworks.
Yeah.
It's a big glass manufacturer out there, I guess. And this guy owns like everything. Well, they offer to sell that Aspire unit fully glazed with the thermal unit. Like you give them daylight measurement openings. They provide shop drawings. They'll manufacture the whole thing and drop ship it to you. So we got a pretty good sized job coming in, I think in the next 2 weeks, and it's all done. I mean, the only thing we're going to do is unload it and install it.
Wow. So you're getting that like all the way from LA?
LA. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we don't make insulated glass, so it doesn't make sense for me to do that. And the two other accesses that I have to it aren't local because none of the other glass manufacturers in the state of Florida even want to take a phone call, let alone build us a piece of glass. So I got to go out of state anyway. And if I can get it all put together in one thing, why would I try and marry up to, you know? It's just good business to buy from them because now all the responsibility on that end product comes on them minus the install.
Right. Yeah. That was a good deal if you can do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's that Aspire one. And anybody that's going to the show, I bet they'll have it there. I have the brochure too. I'll screenshot that and put it in the chat as well. Time is up.
Yeah. I'd like to see a picture of that.
Yeah, you like it. It's sexy. It's nice. Yeah. It's like a cross between, you know, a storefront door and the styles are different. It's weird. Like the different shapes on the vertical. So it doesn't look frameless, but it does. But it's got the metal all the way around it. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to pass the baton here. I didn't know I was going to do that. I apologize.
No, it's good, man. That's a ton of great information. Thinking about, I'm thinking about how much info is in this call right here to go back and rewind and listen to it.
One thing I would say though, you know, wine enthusiasts say that the sunlight kills your wine anyway. So, you know, if that sun is hitting the wine cellar glass, that's probably not a good thing anyway. And I don't know if there's a ideal solution to that, like with the area or the panel that gets the direct hit could have, you know, like a low-E type coating on it or something. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you can laminate a low-E coating in the glass. I know you can do low E on insulated glass, but you know, something to direct that those rays away from your wine.
So one thing that you hit a good point, Brad, on the wine enthusiasts, but I would say a lot of the ones that we're doing, they're not wine enthusiasts. They want it for vanity. You know, they want to fill up a blank wall, but the wine enthusiasts that have to put it in a certain area, a lot of them already have like a Lutron system in their home. And so they have a blackout shade on said window, and that shade will come up and down with the sun because they can set the timers on these things. So there's workarounds, but you don't want to rely on someone else's. You need to know going into this, holy shit, they want this here. They want it at 55. You know, I walk by two Bentleys when I come in here. So they're not drinking wine out of a box. It's probably expensive wine. I'm going to make sure I do my due diligence so I don't, you know, get caught with my pants around my ankles, because when there's a problem, the first person they're going to call is the one they pay the most money to. And outside of maybe the AC and the actual frame and sheetrock, that person's going to be you.
You forewarn them, and
that's the key. You know, that's the key. Yeah, of course.
That's the
worst case scenario. The best case scenario is the margins on these things are unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned the mohair looked fine with, you know, regular clear glass, but what about low iron?
Yeah, so they make a white one, and the T that would you put your tape on the stick to the edge is almost like a milky color, kind of clear-ish. And that one's actually very acceptable as well. Very difficult to see, especially if it's a tight tolerance. So, you know, 8 to 3/16, throw the mohair on there, white fills the space. But again, the glass got to be perfect. Otherwise, you know, a little light at the top, not as much light at the bottom. Customer's like, hey, this is out of adjustment. Now you throw the hinge side off.
Mm.
So dealing with straight surfaces and trying to keep it sealed. Sometimes we would run that channel along the top. I'll run it down the wall. If the bottom of the wall kicks away from the glass, I'll run channel down that wall, fur it out, make sure that the contractor will float the wall with the mud to make it appear to be plumb. And I can butt my glass up against a perfectly plumb substrate, if you will. That way, if I have to add gasket, because I know I can dictate my panel straightness. And by putting that jam on the wall, I can dictate that plumbness. Therefore, I got a squared opening. And dealing with the mohair in those instances is a lot more favorable than, you know, a wall that's kind of serpentine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can get that, Brian, from both CRL and FHC, the white.
I don't know. Jay, Professor Jay, my right-hand man, I get to take all the credit, but he found some of these websites that okay. have this shit. I don't know where they're got door it. Companies. If anybody needs that, they can reach out to me and preferably during working hours, because Jay will be right next to me and I'll ask him and I'll shoot you a text.
Okay. And you know, we've been using like the patch, hydraulic patch.
Yeah.
From FHC or CRL. And I tell you what, those are great. So the Unico, I guess it was, yeah, Unico hinge. What's the advantage with that one?
Let me think about this.
You mentioned I don't know. I'm not familiar with the FHC patch fittings, but you mentioned that the Unico ones don't. You said that they're like a soft close.
Yes, and 90 degree hold open.
Yeah. Okay.
In both directions. So I, you know, 180 degree hold open, right? So it'll go out and stay, and in and stay, and then it's got on the top of it. On top of the patch fitting, like when the door, if it was the bottom hinge and it was closed and you were looking at it down at it from the top on the outside, looking straight down at it, and you took the cladding off of it, there's two Allen wrench openings. One adjusts the speed in which it closed, the soft close happens. And the other one, I think might dictate where it sets.
The other one's the latch.
It'll be on there. It'll show you on there. What's that, Bri?
The other one's the latch, like where that's, it would.
That's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a regular closure, like,
yes. like a regular
speed, latch and speed. Yeah.
Now on the, yes. And the other thing is on the base plate that mounts to the floor, I believe there's two Allen wrenches. That go in horizontally parallel with the floor. That way, when you mount that base plate, if it's off a little bit, it's not perfectly in line with the inline panel, you can loosen or tighten and loosen those two Allen wrenches to kind of throw that hinge 5 degrees one way, 5 degrees the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, just, you know, if it's a door and panel lining up and you need to kind of close it a little bit when it's in its final resting spot, there's those two adjustments at the bottom as well. The Sedev one of the differences is, you guys, the plate that mounts to the floor is separate from the hinge, right? So you mount that to the floor based on the center line and whatever offset comes off the wall or inline panel. And then the hinge and door sit into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you open the door, you can see all the screws to fasten that plate into the floor. Every company has a different way of concealing those. So they have a plate that kind of locks in. Other ones, you have to put a little silicone or double-sided tape. And depending on how hard or close they open these doors, it can create a little pressure and it pops open and then it kicks off and they're like, hey, this thing fell off. You know, we get a call every now and then, this thing fell off the door. And we're like, what the hell could have fell off this thing? And come to find out, it was those little plates, because the guys just thought they could rest them in there. They didn't know they had to, like, it, you know, physically glue them in or tape them on there. I think the Sedev one snaps in there, which is a cool feature. The hinge itself might actually be the same hinge at FHC.
It is.
Or maybe, yeah. What's that?
It is. I mean, the patch, hydraulic patch.
It's called the Balboa, or by Qualcomm, I think they come from.
I don't know.
There's a difference, you know, aside from price. There is a difference, and I fucking be the damned if I can't remember what it is, but is there anybody on this call from CR Lawrence or FHC?
There should be.
Is there?
No, I don't think there is.
Okay, good.
Now,
I consider, with all due respect, we buy from both of these companies, and I buy a lot, and I'd say this to their face. I consider both of those companies the Walmart of the glass hardware industry, meaning they have everything. Everything is affordable. It's readily available. You can get it 24/7. There's other companies that don't sell nearly as much, but the quality of each one of their items is a tick or two higher than these, right? Because they're not made as in mass production, or some of the gizzards inside are a little bit better materials, whatever the case may be. This hinge is going to fall into that category. And there's like two other companies that we buy from hinges like this too, that on the face they look the same, but they're different, and you can just tell as soon as you take them out of the box. Like, Brian, you mentioned something last week when we were talking about two similar shower door hinges, and you're only talking a difference of like $2 or $3, and you said you could feel the difference as soon as you peeled it out. Well, there might be a $50 spread on these hinges, and you're going to get the same feeling.
Right.
I can't put my. Yeah.
Yeah. You can feel it. We've used the Alva from Bole, and which is Portals now. We've used the Alva, the patch fittings. I like their quality. I think it's good. I've tried the FHC, but you can feel. You can feel a difference just when you hold them in your hand.
There's a reason it's cheaper. Now, sure. The question becomes, is that the delta on those, is that necessary to fulfill whatever the client's expectations? If I get a customer that comes in and it's just talking price nonstop, they're not asking about keeping it chilled. They're not asking about quality glass. They're like, cheap, 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 but I want this. I'm not going to fight them. I'm going to get all my cost of goods sold from FHC or Sarah Lawrence. I mean, I can't get it any cheaper.
Sure. Now, question, that Unica, the Unica patch fitting hinges that you're talking about. One of the things we've noticed is when drilling that bottom self-closing mount into the floor, we've had a tendency to steer away from using the metal gnarled anchors that they supply with those. They have a tendency to they back themselves out, and then it's like you got too much of it sticking up out of the floor and part of it's in there, and they're like a nightmare to kind of get that out. So are they the same type of anchors with that Unica hinge?
We don't use those anchors. We use all of those Cobras. We use those on everything.
Yeah, that's what we started using. You know, you make that mistake once, hopefully.
Yeah. Been there, done that. Actually, I probably make it like 3 times, but then I said, okay, fuck this. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Fool me 3 times. Shame on everybody.
Yeah. I like to learn everything the hardest way possible.
Exactly. Come on. Make it stick in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Go big or go home.
What's the Cobra anchor? Is that just the standard plastic?
Who's answering this one?
You.
Oh, yeah. I thought we brought those up. I think we get them at Home Depot. It's like a normal gray anchor sleeve, except there's something else in it that makes this whole mechanism tighter. like we started using these, we've completely almost eliminated any of our WBUs, our top pivot from loosening from the wall. And I found that those were loosening because primarily on the recessed shower pans, when the sweep was dragging and then you have to fold it back over, that little 16th movement over the course of, you know, 3-4 months is what would end up start loosening up a regular gray anchor, because it's kind of like pinching it on the edge of the tile. It's expanding it just a little bit more. So this is a little bit more robust, thicker anchor. And when that screw goes into, I think there's like two more little nodules that stick out to help get a better bite.
And yeah, they almost flare out like a toggle.
Yeah. Yes. And we've had tremendous luck. And I'm, you know, one thing that's been really like eye-opening for that I've learned with the business at the level it's at now is when we decide to make a decision, it goes across the company. So there's massive ramifications when you make the wrong, you know. Yeah. I talked to a guy that owned a hotel once. He says, Keith, you know, when I buy a hair dryer for our hotel, it cost me $40,000 because I got to buy, you know, 500 of them. And, you know, I kind of scoffed at that, but I'm kind of seeing that now. You know, we made a mistake probably 3 years ago about, one of the guys in the back found these deal on these anchors. All right, we're going to start doing these. And holy shit, the amount of service calls that started coming in, you know, we started to have a panic attack because we're like, how many of these are out there? Like, this is never ending. And so then we came, you know, we did a lot of testing in the factory, kind of in that training area. And we found that those Cobra, we had 10 different types of anchors drilled into like 5 different conditions that we do. Ceramic tile, cultured marble, marble, granite, quartz. And these Cobras were, there wasn't one even close to a second. Mm. And so we use those. They're a little bit more money, but, you know, instead of spending I don't know what a regular anchor ends up coming at scale, you know, 3 pennies versus 7 pennies. Well, we don't have to go back and do the repair anymore. So it's just like, it was a no brainer to do those Cobras.
You're saying you can get those at Home Depot, Keith?
Yeah, that's where we started when we were testing. But now I figured I imagine Rod's got someone through his rep at Fastenal or one of these other like companies that supply us like our screws and our anchors locally.
Okay.
But hey Brian, you know the anchor, right? Can you get a screenshot of that and put it in the chat for them?
Yeah.
I'm not by a computer tonight, otherwise I would do it.
Yeah, it's good to know because we've been just using the blue Hillman, I think they're like number 8s or something like that forever.
Yeah, this came before and
who just put the Aspire? Oh, Cameron, there it is. Yeah, that's the Aspire. That's sexy.
Yeah, somebody mentioned these anchors before on a call like a few months back, and I went out and got some of those and checked them out.
What'd you think of them, Chris?
They're awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's like they got glue on them or something.
And they work pretty good as far as, because we always like, you know, cut the head off of it and flush it up with the wall. They still work pretty good as far as like expanding and all that.
Yeah.
Sweet.
There's not much of a collar on them. I mean, it's just enough, I think, to stop it from slipping through the hole. But yeah, they're nice. They're ingenious.
It's amazing how little designs like that make a huge impact.
Oh man, Brad, you're not kidding. Like massive. It's like throwing a rock in a pond, you know? It's just the ripple effect. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Let's see if this comes through. I just posted a picture of this one with the base shoe on it. I mean, look at that thing.
That's cool.
Wow. Yeah. That's beautiful.
And that's the Aspire that you were talking
about? No, those are just the, that's a 2x4, 2x4 concealed header all the way to top. So we could put hydraulic closers in there. And then regular shoe at the bottom with basically almost a very similar base plate that we're talking about for the Unica hinges that those things sit on. And those are 10 foot tall right there.
Wow.
The little inline panel, like 3-inch inline panel, and then return.
Yeah, I mean, this almost looks like it almost looks like a totally frameless application with kind of a base and a top on it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like the metal doesn't even look like it's part of the glass. It looks
exactly
like, right, almost like it's a separate part. It's true.
So there's this one of the restaurants I was telling you about. It's called Ocean Prime, and it's a Naples. And this is how they have all the wine racks with like that type of cladding. He's like, I want it to look like Ocean Prime. So I got you. I got the perfect solution for you. Then I found these racks. They have lighting built into them. So it's like a plug and play. I brought my laser, had the electrician just bring low voltage right to those five locations. And we two screws at the bottom, two screws at the top. And there's like a little plug and play up top. And it was bing, 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 piece of cake. That's a chilled unit too. You can see the whatchamacallit on the left side.
Yeah, thermostat or whatever. Zone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And your tolerances on that were, you know, like an eighth inch or whatever. You said you're
no bigger than an eighth on that door. And this guy was adamant, didn't want any gaskets, nothing. And that thing's holding 55 degrees as it is right there.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll put a couple more in here.
Nicely done, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I love these wine cellars. Oh.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
The designers love the wine cellar. You know, it's just a nice compliment to what we're already doing because the installation is plumb square and level. And you just got to be the sunlight and the humidity. You know, anything else is, you know, the function of the material that you buy. Again, you can do this with shower door hardware. You can. A lot of people are doing it.
Yeah, I would think.
In particular, my competitors. And we're always wanting to sit in different for them. So it's just easy to say, you know, well, if they say, well, how come you're not using hardware like that? Well, when the AC blows on, it could potentially pop open. You know, that fear of loss kicks in and it's like they don't even want to hear it at that point. So like, well, the other company didn't say that. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. There's no way I'd want to be responsible for spoiling all your wine. And
yeah, Keith, you know, another thing with that, with the like the feel of that wine feature is you don't want a door that's going to swing both in and out. And that hydraulic hinge is the deal closer, because then when that closes, it's just closing so soft and then stops right there. It's
yes, like, and it requires like a human to pull on it for it to open, not when the AC blasts on. That's not gonna,
that's yeah, not, that's gonna not latching. Yeah, we've used, you know, the CRL patch. We use the PH21 up top, and then it's the CRL 380 on the bottom. And you know, it has the hydraulic. We love it just because it's in the hinge. You're not digging into the floor. But for anyone listening, the quality of a nicer patch fitting is worth, even if you're spending an extra $80, $100 on it, it makes the difference of that whole enclosure. You guys have been spending 8 hours putting in 300-pound pieces of glass, and it's going to come down to that latch. And the speed sometimes with those lesser patch fittings is it'll close slow and then it almost like loses.
Slam.
It's it goes slow and then it goes quick and then it's slow again, and so that jerky motion almost just kills the whole deal.
Nice. Hey, good stuff, everybody. Thanks for everybody for all your participation. And if you look in the chat, looks like Brian shared an image of that anchor we were talking about.
Yeah, you can get them on Amazon too. They're like $20 for a box.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, those are really good.
Really good.
And also, be sure to join us next week. We're having James Aiken's going to come on from Diamond Seal. This guy, I've been trying to get this guy on here for a while. People have been really been requesting him to come on and talk. So Diamond Seal Systems, James Aiken's going to be with us next week. So tell all your friends, make sure you come back. This is the page to our Shardor Pros weekly live stream update page. So there's the URL right up there, gep.glass/showcase-shower-door-professionals. You can go there and find out everything that's happening. Check out the newsletter, which is awesome. It's off the chain, happening all the time. And yeah, that's where you can watch last week's live stream, all that. This has been an awesome one. So we'll highlight and recap in the newsletter this coming week all the stuff that we learned. Man, good times, good times. So thanks, everybody. Hey, thanks, Glass Guy, for showing up. telling us all the stuff. Thanks, Cameron, for the idea. You know, it's like if you've got an idea, something you want to talk about, shoot me a message, man. We'll make it happen. All right, everybody.
Totally appreciated. Thank you, guys.
Have a great evening. We'll see you next Wednesday. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.